Call to order the North Gateway Advisory Board meeting for June of 2022. Can we start off with roll call, please?
Mike Alley?
Here.
Nate Levin?
Here.
Jared Martin?
Here.
Mike White?
Here.
Mark Adams?
Here.
Pedro Mayorov? Asif Axson? Scott Cantorn? No Scott? Absent. Deacon Lucas?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda for June 2nd, 2022?
So moved.
Can I get a second?
Mike Alley, second.
Yep.
Second by Mike. All approved, say aye.
Aye.
All against, say nay. Okay, agenda approved. Can I get an approval of the minutes from February 3rd of 2022?
So moved.
Nate?
Mark Adams, second.
Mark Adams, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Minutes approved. We'll start off with some public comment. We have Mark Wigg here to speak to the board. Mark, I'll go ahead and hand it over to you. We do have a pretty full agenda, so if we could keep it to 5 minutes, that would be great.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. What I'm trying to get you folks to do is increase the priority for making that bridge over Claggett Creek that would connect Hyacinth Avenue to the Croc Center. I sent Anita a photo. It's wouldn't be that hard to put in that bridge. We could put in at least a crushed gravel path for just a few thousand dollars. Volunteers could do it all, possibly. And the railroad bridge, the trestle that's there, appears to have been burned severely, and they may need to replace that. So if you work with the railroad, there may be joint monies and pooling monies to get over Claggett Creek. This is an opportunity to really help increase foot traffic, riding, biking, that kind of thing.
Is there a large community, and I know the area a little bit, is there a large demand for bicycles there outside of the homeless people that are using them a lot?
There are the middle school, Claggett Middle School, and also the elementary school are just across the parkway. And Richard Walsh and I were just out there looking at the feasibility of doing a bridge that goes, not a bridge, but a pathway underneath the parkway, and then runs all the way down Claggett Creek next to those schools to Claggett Creek Park. And so we're working on that so you can get people over the parkway, but then you get to Hyacinth, and getting down over to the Croc Center would make it just much better. Much better than sending them where they go now through the intersection of Hyacinth and the parkway, which is pretty scary for a kid.
Scary for anybody right now, yeah.
So, Mark, are you talking about underneath where the parkway or the Claggett Creek goes under the parkway?
Yes. Yeah, there's enough space there. There's more than 10 feet of head clearance and a wide gabion basket pathway that, with a minor amount of improvement, not very much. I'm glad Kevin is here. Hey, Kevin. I would love to go out there with Kevin to see what we need to do to make that actually an accessible pathway.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Mark?
I'd like to see, you know, just not an official drawing or schematic or anything, but just kind of a rough concept of, you know, kind of some kind of a sketch on a the kitchen napkin kind of thing to show us what you're thinking about. If you could do something like that and email it to and have it emailed to the board, that would be helpful. So we get a concept, and then on our own time, we could drive by, take a look at things, and get a better grasp of things.
Mark, this is Anita. He did send that to me this morning. I just saw it come up on my email, so I will forward that out to the board after the meeting.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for reading my mind.
Mark, have you spoke with Public Works or anyone else at the, you know, city that would be involved in this project?
I've spoken to ODOT folks, and I've talked to the city previously, but it starts with you guys. You guys say, this is a priority, please look into it. And then the city gets motivated to look into it.
Okay. Well, we can't really vote on something like that today, correct, Sarah, because it's not on our agenda, but it's something we could talk about.
Mark, the suggestion that I would have is that you talk with your neighborhood association. And I am also on a traffic planning advisory committee for the city, and I was previously on the planning commission. And quite a bit of activity in a neighborhood starts with a neighborhood association. If the neighborhood association approves, endorses, or recommends, it will have substantial weight with Public Works or Parks or whoever would be the appropriate department.
And really nice that Irma Dowd is here today with Anita, because I'm sure she will help me get in contact with the right people.
Different Irma. This is not Irma. This isn't Irma Dowd on this meeting, just as a quick clarification. So you'll have to reach out to her separately. This is Irma, who works in urban development. So we have multiple Irmas with the city. So you'll want to reach out to Irma Dowd separately of this meeting.
Well, thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Kevin, give me a call.
Okay, moving on to action item five. Kevin Hotman, if I'm saying that right, is here to talk about some light pole replacement on Portland Road. Yeah. Kevin, I'll hand it over to you.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having me here today. I wanted to talk about the streetlights on Portland Road. Specifically, the ones between the railroad bridge south to the split near the fire station there. Back in 2000, 2001, urban renewal project was done to do streetscape on that section of Portland Road, improve it. We did the sidewalks, and we added black streetlight poles to that project. And over the years, the streetlight poles have been, you know, they're deteriorating, and I'm looking at having them repainted with gas tax money that we have for maintenance. But I wanted to come back to the group that approved it originally and ask if there is support to maybe go away from the black poles to more of the standard brushed aluminum. And the reason I'm kind of asking is the black poles cost, they're powder coated, they cost about twice as much, so a difference of about from $2,000 to $4,000 a pole to replace. The brushed aluminum lasts, it's aluminum, so it doesn't really deteriorate. It creates that kind of a gray finish from natural rust, and they you know, they look better over time. We've had, especially in the past few years, we're starting to see a lot more crashes into streetlight poles and signal equipment, and so the costs are starting to add up. But I wanted to come to the board here and ask if you would consider, you know, allowing the city to, in the future, maybe replace with brushed aluminum poles.
So you're not talking about changing out the current poles, you're just talking about replacement when they're damaged or deteriorated. Is that what you're talking about?
Correct. Yeah. Right now, I'm looking at a contract to have somebody paint them, so that at least we'll make them look nicer. But in the future, replace them as single knockdowns or at end of life with aluminum. I think there's 52 or 54 poles. So trying to do that kind of project would be pretty expensive. But replacing them and trying to get materials has been difficult. Aluminum is a little bit easier. Aluminum streetlight poles are a little easier to obtain.
When you replace a pole, are you moving to LED lights, or do they currently have LED lights?
They're all LED lit.
Oh, they are currently, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense. I mean, from a economic standpoint, now, obviously the neighborhood residents will be more than happy to paint the poles or any walls that you have out there with rattle cans. I've seen a lot of that lately. I don't know how the aluminum will handle, should be able to clean off easier, not that people graffiti light poles, but they graffiti everything else. So I'm just concerned about that, you know, aspect of stuff. If you're talking about repainting something that's powder coated, that doesn't make any sense. So powder coating is supposed to be long lasting. So it does make sense to replace things when they're deteriorated or damaged, yes.
Yeah, the power, I mean, the poles are 20 years old, so they've held up pretty good. The company that I've talked to says they can do some sanding and there are paint products available that will attach to the existing poles and blend in with the powder coating. But, you know, again, you are painting over old, so you know, as everybody knows, colors kind of fade over time. So I'm not sure how they're going to look. I'm assuming they'll do a very good job. But again, yeah, ease of maintenance and cost would be to go to aluminum. Aluminum is, you know, clean through, there's no finish on it. So it's, you know, you're not damaging a finish when you clean off graffiti or damage to them. Stickers or whatever gets put on them.
Jared, would it be appropriate for are you looking for a recommendation, an endorsement, a motion? What's assuming this is something the group agrees to, then what would be the next step?
I'm looking for, you know, however you guys want to endorse it. The next step would then be I would let the public works director know that the group that originally approved the black as part of the streetscape plan would be acceptable to aluminum, and then we would consider putting that product out there.
And this is at no cost to our agency, correct?
Correct.
All right, so I guess we could take a vote on it. That way it's on the record of our support.
Yeah, I would make a motion to approve the city's replacement of damaged or deteriorating light poles with upgraded aluminum poles.
I would second the motion. All in favor say aye.
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 All against? No. Recommended.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Kevin. Okay.
Real quick, can I address Mark Wood's kind of questions? The city has been involved in planning options for connecting the Croc Center to Hyacinth, and it would probably be best if you want. I'm not the expert. I know some things, but I don't know all of the items that have gone into it. that if you want to invite somebody from the city to come in that would have the expertise of what's going on that, that would be the best way to take a look at all the plans that the city looked at for that area.
Okay, hey Kevin, do you know the one thing I didn't get to ask him? So are those schools in Kaiser on the other side of the parkway? Or is that still City of Salem? So that's Kaiser. So it would kind of have to be a multi-city, wouldn't it?
Yeah, to do an undercrossing, I mean, there are flood levels that we would have to look at.
Yeah.
You know, if we put a pathway in there, we'd have to make sure that we weren't creating a dam type situation for Clagga Creek. It would involve Kaiser, ODOT, and the city to do that plan. And I know we've looked at it. So there are designs and answers out there. I just don't know them at this point, but I know we would be happy to come back to the board, Public Works would, and talk to you about those different plans and options. And I think we've even got costs.
Oh, awesome. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
Any more questions for Kevin, guys? Okay, let's move on to number six. Thanks, Kevin. We have Sherry here from the Riverfront URA to give us a little update on what's going on downtown, correct?
Yes. Good morning, everyone. Sherry Warburn with the Urban Development Department. And I always appreciate the opportunity to come in and answer any questions you have and share what's going on in downtown. Before I get started, I want to make sure that this is of value to you. So if you have any questions that you would like or if you're interested in something, I want to make sure that I cover that. So if anybody has anything right now that I should add to my list, let me know.
Hey, can I hold you off for 1 second, Sheree? Can we put it on the record that Mike White's here? Is that correct that I see Mike is now in the meeting?
Scott.
Okay. Thank you. Go ahead. Sorry.
So it doesn't mean that you can't ask questions at the end. Just wanted to make sure that I cover whatever you are interested in knowing about downtown. So I think I shared the last time I spoke with you that the Downtown Advisory Board is unique in that it wears two hats. One of the hats it wears is similar to what North Gateway wears in that they give budget recommendations, project recommendations to the agency board related to Riverfront Downtown Urban Renewal Funds. They then have a second hat that speaks to council in regards to the Downtown Parking District. The Downtown Parking District is a tax to the businesses that they pay, and it has a specific fund, and those business taxes, along with the fees generated from permits and parking structures, pay for the operations of the Downtown Parking District. So when they go through their budget discussions, they do recommendations on Riverfront Urban Renewal Projects, and then they put another hat on and they make recommendations to council on parking fund. So the Downtown Advisory Board's high priority since 2018 has been streetscape. So if you looked at our budget, that would be where a significant amount of the money's going. They selected streetscape because that's the kind of project that doesn't benefit a building, a business. It's a benefit that helps everybody that comes into downtown. So each year we're trying to do 2 to 6 block faces. Again, each block face is very unique and special in downtown. If you've been down here recently, you probably noticed on Commercial Street by Gallagher's and by Night Deposit, you'll see big holes in the sidewalk, and that's because there was vaults underneath the sidewalk. So a lot of the streetscape improvements you don't see because it's underneath the sidewalk. We're putting in the infrastructure so that at some point maybe we could have a consistent look and feel with twinkle lights. Right now we don't have the infrastructure to do what people would like to see in downtown over the holidays. In some locations I could possibly string back-to-back 3 light strands. In other locations it blows a fuse and one year a fire was started in a tree. So a big element of streetscape for us is underneath the sidewalk, putting in water for hanging baskets. That way, again, if we get a consistent look and feel with the PED lights, that you can hold the banner or you can hold a hanging basket, there would be the infrastructure to keep them watered, unlike what we've historically had to do when we've had baskets. We had to pay a third party with a big water tank to come around and water the hanging baskets, because a lot of the buildings in downtown, because they're historic, don't even have outside water spigots. So it will take more than 10 years to get all the phases done. Obviously in downtown, we have a moratorium over the holidays where we can't do, nobody can do a project during the holidays. That way we save the parking and we make it as user-friendly for customers coming in to support the businesses. But that is our number one priority, and I anticipate the board will continue to keep it that way until all of the phases get done. Let's see, second priority for them has always been to keep money, a significant amount of money in the grant program. So right now, downtown has three grant programs. We have the capital improvement grant program, which pays out on a sliding scale depending on how much of eligible project cost you have. So to give you an example, if you had $1.8 million in eligible project cost, you would probably qualify for the maximum grant amount that we have of $300,000. However, recently with projects like the Holman Hotel and the redevelopment of the Nordstrom's building, COES on State Street, those particular projects have asked for an exception to the maximum grant based on them meeting objectives for the exception criteria, and they have gotten $749,000 in our grant funds. And again, we cap it at the 749, typically because 750 triggers bullying, and most developers do not want their project tainted with bullying. The second grant program we have is similar to the one that you just recently approved the last time I was here and visited you. That's the strategic project grant. Just in the last 2 weeks, I've done seven of those grant commitments. All of a sudden there's been a big surge of interest in fencing, perimeter fencing, and exterior security lighting and cameras, more lighting and fencing. I'm happy to say that Seth, who's on point to administer your program, I've been able to go with him to most of the businesses and property, and meet the property owners who are interested in using your grant programs. You have very nice property owners and businesses. It was fun going and meeting with them. And I would, if I was psychic, I would say that you are probably going to have more demand than you have for the budget that you've allocated for it. So that will be a discussion that you'll have to have, because fencing is not inexpensive, and a majority of the requests will be at the max. So if you have 20,000 and you know your budget's 100,000, how many are you gonna get? Or if your budget's 150? So I'm just planting that seed. I think it is something that was strategic in your part in offering that as a tool, but I think you're gonna see a lot of interest in it, and then that will be a decision that you all get to have in a discussion as to how you want to prioritize the grant money that you have against which one of your grant programs that you have. The other one that we created coming out of COVID was what we call Open for Business Grant. And basically it terms out, so it's not like the capital and the strategic, but the goal of that grant program is to try to address if there's capital improvements that a business has determined it needs in order to address some of the impacts from COVID. If it was inside their building, and of course we also made it available to help a business that qualified for a platform, a dining platform. So in downtown right now, if you came here, we have two outdoor dining platforms. they, both of them have a look and feel that's very similar because the city has platform design guidelines. The goal of that was we wanted to make sure that they were safe. We wanted to make sure that they were complementary to each other. So we have two right now that have been put on the street, and I anticipate two or three more will probably, you'll probably see them constructed, especially with the nicer weather coming. And the Open for Good Business Grant can pay $20,000 towards the cost of one of those outdoor platforms, and they're running between $40,000 and $48,000 a piece to get them built. Any questions so far? Okay. So on the other side, in regards to the parking fund, the Downtown Advisory Board's key communication to council for several years has been the desire for them to support looking into putting paid on-street parking in downtown. The parking fund budget has been challenged for many, many years. The model has lots of issues with it that result in it not generating enough revenue to cover the cost. And putting a paid on-street system based on the feasibility analysis today would show that it would be financially sustainable and a better model for downtown. So they've written memos during the budget season to council asking them to look into or direct staff to look at putting paid on-street parking in downtown. Since I've been here, council's approved paid on-street parking twice. One by the person before UD that had parking, never was implemented. And then Sarah and I worked with the parking task force. Council turned around and approved paid on-street parking. That was overturned by an initiative petition. And so here we are back again. It's a high priority in the climate action plan, city's climate action plan. So we'll see if it gets a different voice behind it this time to move it forward. So that's kind of been their high priority on the parking side, because the parking fund budget has had a deficit, a significant deficit for years that has resulted in not being able to do any flower baskets, any cleaning in downtown, just kind of holding it together. So that is what's going on that side. Let's see.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yes.
So what is taking up most of that fund? Where's most of that money going out of that fund?
Well, going back to like when I said that the businesses pay a parking tax to cover the cost of the parking district, the majority, let's say 35% of the revenue came from large retailers. So when you lose Penny's, when you lose Nordstrom's, that's $27,000 to $30,000 a year, no more parking tax revenue. You lose TJ Maxx. So right there, you know, you have a significant hit to a budget. Add to it the impacts from permit revenue being down because people are working remote. So there's not as many permit holders. And unfortunately, costs go up. The additional need for downtown cleaning, and I'm sure you can imagine why that is that there's no words to put behind the cleaning in downtown, and the vandals and the trash receptacles and all the other things that go with having a downtown core in the homeless crisis that we're in right now, because a lot of the homeless come into downtown during the day and sleep in the doorways and congregate around certain buildings in downtown. So it's a combination of things. And the initiative petition that I referenced, that included a cap on the amount that we could increase that parking district tax So if that's capped at 2 and costs go up 4, there's not a thing I can do about it because it's part of an initiative petition. So it's, again, I'm sure that you can understand as a board how difficult it's been for the advisory board to look at the budget that they've had and have recommendations, but it's been very hard for most of those. And then of course COVID just added to it. And then of course just the businesses dealing with the struggles they have and paying the tax, even though the minimum tax for all the parking that's provided within the district is just a little over $400 a year, depending on the business, that could be a lot to them. So it's just a combination of things, but thank you, Jared, for asking for our background on that.
Yeah, Sheree, will the new apartments that are going to replace the Nordstrom, will they be assessed a fee such as a business like my own pays downtown for parking? Will they be included in the parking district and pay a fee also, or is residential stuff exempt?
Good question, and it's nice to see you, Mark. So right now, residents are not prohibited from parking on street. Obviously, they have time limits, so they can't park on street for more than 3 hours at a time. But I can tell you that it's not uncommon, especially if they work remotely, that I don't see their cars floating around downtown every 3 hours being moved. So parking is not a requirement anymore for a housing unit. It used to be. You had to have one parking space for every housing unit. That's been removed. So like the POSE project, the 148 micro unit project, that has 15 parking spaces for 148 units. So it's not uncommon that in the morning when I get here at 5 and I walk around, I see 100 cars parked around that particular apartment complex. Some of those residents have done a good job and they've purchased permits and parked in the parking garages. That's what we prefer. So if you're a resident and you're in a parking garage, you have to purchase a permit. Unlike employees that cannot park on street, residents can't park on street. So the Nordstrom's building, 157 units, 18 on-site parking spaces. However, it's within very close proximity to Marion Parkade. So again, the goal will be, I'm hoping that those residents will purchase permits and park in Marion Parkade. And actually that would be a win-win-win on a bunch of levels because that is an underutilized parking garage and the more cars that are in there, the safer and better it will feel for everybody that uses it.
My question is the apartment complex, in my opinion, is a business. It's an investment that someone's putting in there. Is that considered a business then that would be required to pay the parking fee like my business does, or is that exempt because it's a different type of business?
Well,
the project owner, whoever owns that complex, are they subject to the same fees that other businesses downtown are?
No. If that building had ground floor retail, the retail businesses would be assessed a fee. But housing is not assessed a parking fee if you look in the parking tax booklet. Housing isn't assessed a tax, just the business.
Gotcha. So if I put a cot in my business here, I'm exempt. I'm teasing.
Mark, I'm so glad you always love to talk to me about parking, and I'm so glad because you're supportive of paid on-street parking, and I'm going to remember that. Remember.
I'm on the list. You bet.
Mark's on the list. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Does the city own that parkade?
Yes, the city owns 3 parkades in downtown. Marion, Chemeketa, the one that I sit under, and Liberty, which is up at Ferry and Liberty Street between Liberty and Commercial. So yes, we have three parking garages, and then Pringle is outside the district, and it's across from Safe.
Is Marion even close to full? I feel like whenever I drive by there, there's not a lot of people parked there.
No, we would love to have the capacity increased, and that's why, you know, downtown's pretty much built out. So the future is going to be the northern part of downtown. Obviously, in downtown right now, with Liberty Plaza having only one tenant across the street, you have the pit, I shouldn't call it that, but where the former Wells Fargo building was. You have Salem Center, which is struggling. You have the vacant Penny's building. You have Nordstrom's, which is coming down. And then you have, you know, Rite Aid with that big TJ Maxx space. So I have this quadrant right now that needs a shot in the arm. Certainly bringing 157 residents into downtown in that northern location will really help support Salem Center. I know Salem Center is waiting because 157 people, they might be more likely to get a restaurant. I don't think everybody wants to walk up to Court Street every time they want a restaurant. So there's a real opportunity in for all the properties that are kind of sitting at Chemeketa that are going north. So we'll see what happens.
Sherry?
Yes.
I have a recommendation for a shot in the arm that may assist not only in encouraging people to come to the downtown, but may, you know, also encourage the exodus of businesses. And if the city council wanted to take on cleaning up downtown and telling the homeless population that the filth and trash that they create is not a positive consequence, and be proactive about getting them out of there, there may be the possibility that other people that don't want to deal with walking past or around the homeless population while they're trying to get to a business would feel more comfortable being on the street. And it is silly to me that the city hasn't figured out that there are consequences to their non-action and lack of enforcement, reduction of police presence, etc., throughout the community. I mean, this is, it's frustrating, and I'm probably not capable of remaining civil a lot longer, so I'll stop now.
I understand exactly what you're saying, Nate, because I've been here almost 20 years, and we were on such a good projectile. Things were going so well, and then things happened. Obviously, the homeless situation wasn't here when I was first hired. It wasn't here when Sarah was first hired. And I know you know that a lot of it is individuals that need more than just a place to stay. They need services. They have mental addictions of some type. Yes. And that's the challenge, you know, trying to find a housing unit for everyone isn't going to address it, because those that we see are not interested in going into a housing unit. They've been living in a tent for more than 10 years. And so they're not gonna just go into something that has any type of rules or expectations. So if we do have some real challenges here, no doubt about it. I personally wish that the downtown businesses had voiced or would voice more about it, but they don't necessarily. I think we have businesses in downtown that are very caring. I think some of them also, just because of what we experienced going through the homeless task force, I think businesses were surprised at the voice that appeared to be negative to a business that tried to speak to what the impacts were to them, not that they're not empathetic and that they're not caring, but, you know, the vandalism, people not wanting to come to a business because they're afraid of a homeless person. I personally was surprised at the other voice that was very negative to businesses, and I think businesses were afraid that they might be picketed or they might be blocked or who knows what if they shared that they needed assistance with some of the behavior issues and the vandalism that was happening. So the downtown voice has been pretty quiet in the midst of all this. And yeah, I mean, unlike you, Riverfront put a significant amount of money into the police facility. We put a significant amount of money into UGM News facility. We put a significant amount of money into Arches, and we bought the UGM Saffron site across the street from where I sit, hopefully for redevelopment. So this particular urban renewal area has put money into trying to address some of this in services and in the buildings that those services are out of. So yes, not in my lifetime probably, Nate. I'm sorry, I'm at the end, not at the beginning, but I appreciate all of you for continuing to come down and support the businesses when you can. It is important to all of them. And we do have a lot of great things happening, and we have, you know, over $70 million right now in private investment going into downtown. That says something. And certainly Nordstrom's is going to be catalytic, the redo there. It's going to jumpstart everything that's going to happen on the north side, and it's just going to make things better. The more people that are there and around to support things, the better it's going to be in downtown. So it's an opportunity to me more than it is a challenge. So let's see. How am I doing on time, Sarah? I feel like I'm...
So we're good. Yeah.
If I may jump in for a moment.
Absolutely.
First of all, I apologize for being late. I had a conflict that came up yesterday afternoon that had limited availability to schedule. Not a good look for my first meeting. But I wanted to touch on the homeless issue. I understand I'm on the North Gate board, but we also do own property in the downtown urban renewal area. I'm sure you've seen our application for the fence to control the homeless loitering and dumping and camping at the 990 Broadway. The issue is out of control, and it's the issues that we're dealing with there. Just as a small synopsis, we've got 5 to 10 people that camp out on the property daily. They use drugs, they deposit their trash, they deposit their feces, not just on the corner, not just on the sidewalk, but they will actually walk to our ground level apartments. I had this happen twice last week, and relieve themselves on the wall. That's not something that should be happening in a first world country, in the state capital. I commend our police for having the restraint that they do when they encounter the situation, but something has to be happening at a policy level to deter and to control this behavior. Because there's it's not even a fine line between compassion for folks needing services, for folks needing supports. When you cross into the realm of defecating in front of somebody, a stranger's home, that's animal behavior. I'm not trying to characterize the homeless as animals in any way. But the challenge that we see is that, you know, we make contact with these folks and try to understand, you know, why are you here? I've offered them jobs, zero takers for the record. The majority of them spend their evenings living under shelter at the Gospel Mission. but leave during the day because the program and commission are bored. To me, that just bad represents such a willful and such a wanton disregard for the rule of law that if that's the kind of behavior that's going to be acceptable in this city, you're right, it's not going to be happening, you know, a fix won't be happening in your lifetime, Sherry, and it won't be happening in mine.
So Scott, what did you, so when most of the people that I talk to, because I see them on the sidewalk, do not utilize UGM. So when you said that they stay at UGM overnight, and then why aren't they there in their day use room during the day? What did you say they're saying?
They find it boring. That's a verbatim quote from one of the gentlemen who is a daily visitor.
And again, you know, you're speaking to the things that are the most disturbing for everyone. I have 5 piles of human waste out in the alley behind where I work. And some of it's on the building wall. Even though we know that we've invested in areas for people to go to the restroom. The other voice says, these people are on medication and when they have to go, they have to go. So when you see them when we have a lot on the corner of Rite Aid and they would just stand there and go, right there with all the cars, and every time that happened, I'd hear about it. There's two voices that are speaking every time this happens. I just think that you need to, because you're a new property owner and so you have a fresh moment to it, I would highly encourage you to, you know, speak to council. Obviously we have a brand new council coming on and a mayor in January. And I can tell you that this particular mayor is all about the homeless. So if you haven't met him, maybe I would suggest that maybe that wouldn't be a bad thing for you to do, or go and speak. The other thing is that if I was you, I would hire, and Nate's going to disagree with me, I would hire AAA or Wright or one of these, drive around. I'd even hire one to stand there, because it only takes usually 14 days to change a behavior. They don't like being disrupted or interrupted from what they choose to do during their free time because they're bored. They're going to move on to, we don't want them to move to somebody else, but they will move on if it's not pleasant or they're not encouraged to kind of be there. Not that you're encouraging them, but there's nobody there, so it's a hidey hole. I mean, hidey holes are what I call them, and that's what we have a lot of in Salem around people's property. But I just think that that more voices need to share. You were not expecting this. We are the capital city. And I can tell you it means so much more to them coming from you than from staff. It really, really does. All these things.
I'll be pleased to do that.
I would really encourage you to do that. And I know some of you have always been involved in being on boards that deal with the issues and help with services too. And for that, I'm grateful, because again, I don't know if I've met anybody in Salem who doesn't care, but at the same time is not happy with certain behaviors and don't think they should be allowed. It's a constant message that we hear. So I guess it was nice seeing you in person, Scott, since we've done the grant. I didn't know who you were, but
I had to go off my video for a second to open the door. But no, it's just a pleasure to make acquaintance with you as well. We also have property over in the Northgate area. We're spending $2,000 a month on armed patrol at the Broadway property. For the month of May, we spent $5,000 on patrol for our properties in the Northgate area, and then had to invest another $25,000 one-time expense, hopefully, buying traffic barriers to keep people from coming onto our property in the evenings and stealing lumber. So, according to local economy.
It's almost to the point where you want to hire somebody yourself at that much a month instead of hiring it out. But yes, I don't have your pain personally. I don't own those properties. I'm not dealing with the financial consequences that you are. But I would encourage you and to talk to all the council, and I appreciate you keeping up the properties and caring about your assets. I do. Not that that's worth anything, but I do.
I appreciate that. No, it's nice to hear that. We like to be a nice place of business. And, yes.
Could you ask me something, Jared?
Could I do a follow-up comment? This is to Scott, but I'm not embarrassed or hesitant to say this. One of the most effective things that we've found for campers is to go in with a crew and just say, come tomorrow. Everything will be cleared out. And this is especially common for industrial areas where there's easy access, open space, etc. And what we've done is we've given them 24-hour notice that we'll be in the following day with trucks and dump trailer, and everything goes away. And it's okay if they're still there the next day, just being obstinate. Then we have the police come in, and that requires a trespass letter and posting. And between the trespass letter, the 24-hour notice, and the cleanup crew, we've changed some behaviors that took less than 14 days. Sorry, I'm just...
We've done those things before, and it works on a short-term basis, but...
Yes, but the word spreads pretty quickly if you're consistent about cleaning up, taking the shopping carts, the baskets, the tents, everything, and just dispose of it. And they say, well, where's my stuff? You know, because I've been tracked down by several folks. And I said, we threw it away, you know. You're trespassing. And that was it. Well, where can I find it? And I said, well, I'll give you the address of the dumpster, you know.
Brook Lake Road, and might be ashes by now.
Yeah.
No, I never heard it then, but.
Sherry, what else you got on your list?
I feel like I've taken way more time, but I always appreciate all of you. And again, if you need anything or have any questions, you can always come to me directly. Scott certainly knows how to get me. Nate certainly knows how to find me. Mark knows how to find me now. Obviously, I've gone out beyond my boundaries. But anyway, I just want you to know how much your time is appreciated by staff. Sarah has nothing but great things to say about how great her board is. And that's a really great compliment to all of you, because you're what makes her job interesting and fun. She's there for you, and all of us are. So you guys have a great day, and I guess I'll be back. When will I be back, Sarah?
I don't know. When do you want to come back?
A couple quarters, I think. Every couple quarters you have me.
Yeah, every so often, or if something happens. Yeah,
something happens.
Yeah, something comes up, you know.
Okay. If I solve these problems we talked about and world peace,
yeah,
I'm still coming back.
Definitely. Love it.
Okay. You guys have a great day.
Thanks, Sherry.
Appreciate your work. Thank you.
I need to say thank you for all of your help and all of the time that you've spent with so many of us, sorting through projects, helping us fill out documents, getting stuff submitted in a proper form. It is your willingness to help is always appreciated.
Goes both ways. Thank you, Nate. You guys have a great day.
You too. Okay, let's move through this real quick. Sarah, strategic grant update.
Yeah, that so I'll move.
We passed, guys, we got a couple new board members. We passed one that's for security purposes, basically. It's a different style of grant. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, so I'll move really fast. My plan is probably in August to get you guys sort of an update similar to how we do our capital grant, so an actual spreadsheet that shows where the money's going, what it's going towards. But I did just want to touch base really quick because it is a new program, and I think Cherie did a really nice job of sharing just how well it's going. I think she's dropped off the call, but I wanted to extend my sincere thanks to her. She did mention, so we have a program manager in our office, Seth, who's helping administer the program, but she's really overseeing it because it's so similar to downtown. What our goal has always been is for as much as possible for our programs to really work very similarly. So if you have a property downtown and you have a property in North Gateway, you're able to use funds for the most part for very similar things. And that's what we're really trying to do with this specific program. And she's been so wonderful at sort of helping, especially in a lot of those gray areas with this particular grant program. At this point, we've had about 10 applications come in. So that's fantastic. We've had two grant commitments go out so far. And we do think that the full $150,000 that we allocated will be spent by the end of this fiscal year. And we have another $150,000 that has been put into the proposed budget that will hopefully get approved this month, and then that would become available on July 1st. And then, as Cherie said, if we're still seeing that same level of interest, then, you know, I'll come back to the board and we can have a conversation about whether it makes sense to move some funds around to allow for more grants, or, you know, how the board would like to handle that. Similarly to what we had to do for those of you who have been on the board for a while, we went through a good couple of years with our revitalization and rehab grant program where we just kind of were funneling a lot of money into it just because the market really demanded it at that point in time. And so we may be having some of those similar conversations. But I did want to let you know that so far it's been successful. A lot of different property owners are reaching out, a lot of great projects, and hopefully we'll start to see the benefits to that here in the next few months. So more to come, but so far so good. So that's nice.
And did you have any other updates?
Unless there's objection, typically we cancel the July meeting because it always falls so close to the fourth holiday. So unless there's objections from the board, Jared and I already chatted that there wouldn't be a July meeting, so everybody's off the hook. In case you haven't heard, so the former Zamora site right across from Center 50 Plus, where we used to have our meetings in person, the sheltering aspect that's been there has been extended until August. That's just sort of due to some other shelters that weren't able to open within the city, and so DEQ did allow the sheltering to continue for an additional few months. But the plan will be, as I mentioned before, in August, then it would turn into those administrative uses. So the sheltering aspect would go away, but administrative uses will be going on there. There'll be some, you know, some parking of the different buses that kind of get people around, things of that nature. So we'll continue to have a lot of activity on that particular site that'll still be helping support the sheltering services. You just won't have the overnight kind of capabilities happening at that site. There's a new city website that's going to be going online in the middle of June. So just as a heads up, if you go to our website a lot. Mid-June, I think we're on the 13th, they're planning on it going live, so it may look different to you, so just as a heads up there. Our meetings are still virtual, and as of now, that is going to continue indefinitely. So I just kind of wanted to let everyone know that the current direction is for boards and commissions at this point, indefinitely will continue to be 100% virtual unless we have a scheduled tour or something like that in which we would get special permission to meet in person. So that's kind of the current trajectory of where we are. And then lastly, I did just want to let you all know, I'm hoping also at the August meeting to provide an update on where we are with conversations with the railroad in respect to sort of that larger project of can we extend Pine Street? How would that affect the left turn lane that, you know, we have in our budget off of Silverton Road to 17th Street? You know, how does that all look? And then how can we develop the former Zamora site based on all those things? As we discussed back in January, the biggest thing is, will the railroad allow us to do any sort of relocations of kind of the existing crossings or changing how that looks? So that process is underway, and I'm hoping to have some update, whatever that might be, in August for everybody as well.
Sarah, I've got a question considering railroad. The underpass on Portland Road by Pine Street, is that that whole property the responsibility of the railroad?
It's a combination, I know it came to the board, and I have to double check with Public Works because I don't want to misspeak, but I know there's certain pieces of it that are the responsibility of the railroad, and then there's certain pieces of it that are the responsibility of the city. But the city responsibilities are really tied to sort of cleaning and, you know, the roadway, but we really can't do anything without the railroad's blessing.
Yeah, but lately that's become a big target for graffiti.
And yeah, so, I think a communication, I actually saw a recent communication went to Public Works about that.
Okay.
Somebody else had reached out, and I kind of got CC'd on some communications about what's been done previously and what they're trying to do to keep it, you know, clean as much as they can. I know they've put in, you know, different types of materials to be graffiti deterrents and things of that nature, but I'll take a double check at what was all in there and be happy to report back.
Yeah, what would be nice would be some kind of a message from the board just stating that we've noticed a real problem there and would encourage anybody in who's responsible to move ahead with any action, especially cleaning, whether they media blast it, whether they paint over it, whatever they do, something would be welcome, because to me that once you start to deteriorate, we end up looking like Portland, and the more graffiti we allow to go on with, it gets out of hand and it starts to, you know, snowball. So I guess as a board member, I would love to say, you know, we would encourage the city to do whatever they can to clean that up. I don't know if that's a motion or if it's just a note that it was discussed at the meeting. I don't know how you want to handle that.
It's really up to the board. I mean, I can reach out and share that it came up in our meeting and there's a concern and kind of start there. If the board wants to do something more formal, obviously you're always welcome to do that as well.
I think that would be a good start, just to let them know that it's on our radar. And that way, you know, if we don't see any significant action in the next couple months, then we could maybe make a formal request or something. But I think at this point, just to let them know it's on our radar and we are concerned.
Sure, not a problem. I'd be happy to send something out.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else, Sarah?
No, that was a lot really quick. So.
Okay, so real quick, I know we're running behind, guys. We got two new members. You guys want to take a second and tell us about yourself? Scott Canton Wayne is a new board member. Hello, Scott.
Hey, nice to meet you. Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate the warm welcome. I'm with Cascade Warehouse Company and Capital Cold Storage. We have Capital Cold Storage is a food processing facility on Salem Industrial Drive. We've been there since 1998. And Cascade Warehouse Company, we've got about 10 acres on Salem Industrial, Cherry Avenue, Johnson Street area up there. We're a family-owned business, fourth generation. We've been here in Salem since 1958. We actually recently acquired 8-acre property on Cherry Avenue. We're looking forward to doing a little bit of rejuvenation on. We've leased it for 35 years from the previous landowner. They were value-minded and didn't put a lot into it. And we were able to acquire it and look forward to fixing it up. Really just wanted to get involved. We talked about a lot of the hot button issues on today's call, even though I was 30 minutes late. So look forward to contributing and hopefully making the North Gate area a good business-friendly, development-friendly area that helps drive value in the North Gate.
Awesome. Thanks, Scott. And we have Deacon Lucas.
Hey, my name's Deacon Lucas. I'm from South Salem, went to South Salem High School. Hopefully everyone can agree South Salem High School is the best high school in Salem. Just want to get that out of the way early. I own a company, a packaging company. Currently we're in West Lynn. We're waiting for Jared to build one of his buildings so we can move our warehousing over there. We primarily do sourcing and pretty much anything you see inside of a grocery store, we source or distribute anything from boxes, jars to bags, end caps. So if you can dream it up, we can pretty much do it. I'm also on the advisory committee for CTAC for sustainability and science, which is pretty cool to be on both those advisory committees. And yeah, I'm just excited to be here and interested in learning what goes on and just growing with you guys.
Thank you. Anything else? Anybody have anything else? Looks good. Well, thanks everybody for showing up. It was a good meeting. And sorry we ran a little bit long, but meeting adjourned. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.